You know what? That's my first error. You just started without me already. Anyway, as you can tell, this is not Nisha or William. I'm Chris Fields. I'm your guest host today on Drive Through HR. Those guys are doing a little bit of traveling, probably for holidays and some business. They asked me to step in, and I said, sure. So if you don't know me, I'm new underscore resource on Twitter. I'm HR consultant and resume writer. I got a couple of websites, costofwork.com, resumecrusade.com, and then also the MVP Presenters, where I'm part of a diverse speaking group. And
hey,
I also write for a few other places, Smart Recruiters, eSkills, Performance I Create. But it's not about me today. Today, it's about our guest. And my guest today is Carrie Johnson. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Chris. I'm going to go ahead and tell you we are having a bit of technical difficulty. I got just a ping from a coworker who's unable to sign in, receiving an error that the broadcast isn't starting for about 29 minutes.
It is not started?
I apologize. This is an odd start. See, this is what happens, Chris. William and Nisha go on the road, and you and I create shenanigans.
And you know they didn't train me. They got a new system. I'm blaming them. I'm going to pull the reverse human resource thing. I'm blaming them for not training me upright on this new fancy-dancy system they got. But no, the only thing that really threw me off was I did not account for the music starting automatically. I had a song I wanted to play, and you know the music started automatically, so I had that double lap there, and I was like, well, what happened? So I figured that out. But I think we're ready to go. From what I'm looking at here, we got about 28 minutes left. So hopefully whatever problem your friend pinged you about is working itself out, because I think we're ready to go.
I think we're not broadcasting.
Okay. Let me check it out, because it says here that we are. In fact, if anybody is having trouble, let me know. Send us a ping, but let me know. I think we'll have to look into this. Are you able to see it on your side?
No, it appears as though it's not going to start for 28 minutes is what we're getting.
That is odd, because when I look at it, I see that it has started and we have 27 minutes remaining. I wonder.
Well, the Twitter sphere, I'm hoping, is listening, and if they are listening to the two of us kind of fumble around here, that they're getting a good laugh and that they could just let us know what they're hearing.
Yeah, I'm hoping somebody can, if somebody's listening, if they can hear us or not, let us know some kind of way. I think that we're moving along here, according to what I see, but I want to make sure that everything is okay. So let us know if you can hear us broadcasting.
All right, it sounds like we're finally on, Chris. See, again, William and Nisha go away, and you and I just create havoc. That's what it's like for the two of us, huh?
People, you know, it shouldn't change anything. Keep it all the same, the old way. Okay, so now we're on.
Dive in,
that's
huh?
good. Well, now we're on. That's good. We got about 26 minutes to go, so sorry about that the first few minutes there, but we got it under control now. So, again, I'm your guest host, Chris Fields. And today we got Carrie Johnson. Carrie, go ahead and introduce yourself to the folks who may not know who you are.
Well, thanks, Chris. I am Carrie Johnson. I am the Managing Director of the Compose Division of DeckiSoft. And for those of you who are not familiar, DeckiSoft is a provider of specialized software solutions that enable business leaders to really simplify the administration of complex compensation and benefits management processes. We actually have two products in the marketplace right now. One is Easy Admin, which simplifies complexities of unionized workforce administration, and Compose, the group that I head up. We focus on compensation management solutions and really, really target streamlining and administration of sophisticated variable pay programs. So we are all about comp and benefits.
All right. Well, you know, let's get right into it. Flagship question, what's keeping you up? What's top of mind keeping you up at night in HR and comp?
Well, if you were to don the halls of DeckiSoft, what you would hear is all of us would sing, it's the most wonderful time of the year, along with all of our compensation professionals and practitioners. What I mean by that is that it's comp season for just about 80% of the folks that we deal with on a regular basis. The other 20% are evaluating right now. And what's been keeping me up at night is really strengthening vendor and practitioner relationships to enhance that evaluation process. You know, Steve Bowes, he published an article in Human Resource Executive late October, being a better customer. And it really hit home with me, Chris. As a vendor, as a partner, I look at that and think, you know what, it's a two-way street. We have to be better for one another. And in fact, what we really need to do is form relationships way before a project is ever funded. We need to not only form them, but we also have to positively leverage relationships and share knowledge throughout the process. So it's not a sales process. It's an exchange of information and acquisition of technology that's really benefiting an organization.
So tell me about Steve's article. What specifically, you know, got you thinking this way? What did he say, and what kind of resonated with you?
You know, interestingly enough, I think Steve hit on some really key points. From a vendor perspective, oftentimes we're called out to be Karnak, to read the minds of practitioners, because practitioners are often afraid to really open up and share information with us, because the traditional sales type mentality is a tough one to negotiate when you're a practitioner. So oftentimes information is closely held from a practitioner standpoint, and Steve really points that out about sharing information on decision timeline, explaining processes for approval and payment. You know, if legal needs to be involved, don't keep that a secret. Open up and feel a level of trust in the relationship. And as I read that, it's all really sound advice. And as a vendor partner, I am applauding what he has written here. But the whole key here is trust. You really can't have trust unless you've developed relationships with the vendors in the marketplace, unless you have created relationships, and unless we as vendors take a position of advocacy and become a helper and an advocate rather than the sales channel.
But I'll play practitioner's advocate here. Let's say, you know, the vibe I get from a lot of practitioners is dealing with vendors and salespeople, they just really, it's not something they look forward to. You know, they're looking at, Is this going to work? How about the cost? Is this person trying to, you know, do a snake oil sales on me? So what can be done to help that part? What can the practitioners do in order to kind of help, you know, do some of the things you said, form better relationships, share knowledge, and have a better understanding of the tech vendors and what the whole situation is about? What can they do?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, and I think, again, it's a two-way street. I think practitioners have to ask us as vendors, you know, what is your strength? You know, what, and then look for proof. In order to fully grasp and understand the strength of each vendor, to really understand what it is you're buying and how it's going to impact the organization, you've got to ask the question. We as vendors have to be honest in our answer. For instance, in DecuSoft, specifically Compose, is a compensation management software solution. We're not a modular solution. Because of the, you know, where we sit in the market with other HRIS or other HR ITHCM solutions, oftentimes we are called upon for things outside of our expertise. We have to be honest with folks, take advocacy, and actually be really resolute and not afraid as vendors to enter into co-opetition, if you will, to refer other solutions, to understand that the relationship and, you know, kind of the greater good, I know it sounds a little Pollyanna, but developing that level of trust, creating that community, ensures that each one of us actually will obtain market share, that each one of us will develop relationships that are long-lasting with our clients. So from the practitioner standpoint, ask the hard question and then look for proof. If someone is telling you they can do something, they can prove it. And it's okay to ask and build that trust. But again, I think some of those things have to happen before a project's even funded.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, technology, you know, advanced pretty fast now. We got a lot of new things going on. What do you think, or what's your thoughts around vendors going back to older clients and making amends, fixing things that might have went wrong? You know, what is your thought on that, on, you know, kind of keeping that customer service relationship going by fixing maybe some problems of the past and mending those relationships to build strong relationships in the future?
You know, it's funny that you ask me that question. DecuSoft itself, if you were to come inside our organization, talk with any of us, or even have an opportunity to speak with our clients, you would understand that our calling card is client service. We take that extremely serious. In fact, the president of our company drives that, from really top down. That is the most important thing to ensure our growth, is not only say you can do it, but do it, and then continue that relationship and support. So I think it's critical as a vendor to stop being the vendor and start being the partner, to be the advocate, to ensure that you do go back, you ask the tough questions, you look at things that may not have gone as planned, and without blame, address them and move them forward. Again, we are only as a vendor as good as our implementation and support of our clients. The more we invest in their business, the more we invest in making things right, and hopefully right the first time, the better we're all going to be, and the more we will grow not only our client organizations, but our organizations as well, gaining the market share that we each want.
See, yeah, that's we're going to be fine without Nisha and Brian, William, because I asked you that question specifically because I know that a big part of your job is putting out fires and managing those relationships. And I know that's important to you. And when I thought about, our conversation today and what we're going to talk about, I started remembering some other conversations that you and I have had, and I just started remembering how customer-focused you were. So this really makes a lot of sense, this conversation that we're having about comp benefits and tech. So what I want you to do is take a few minutes to talk to the audience about the importance of introducing tech into your compensation and benefits. I think when we think of tech, we think recruiting maybe. We think of job mm-hmm. performance. We think of human capital management systems, talent management systems. But we really don't apply that to comp and benefits too often. You don't hear too much about that. So talk to them about why that's important, what it is, what it looks like, and why they should pay attention to that.
Fantastic. And I know, Chris, you and I have talked about this in the past, that oftentimes on a show floor or in a pure marketing realm, comp and benefits is just not quite as sexy as some of the other things going on out there. But what it is it's true. We've talked about there's some really great social platforms out there for recruiting, for instance. Comp and benefits, though, is the foundation, the absolute foundation of ensuring that you are retaining your employees. Your ability to administer complex compensation and really pinpoint and explain that to your top performers, as well as coach through and bring up your not-so-top performers, is critical. So here's the interesting thing. From a compensation perspective, oftentimes the administration of comp has a very small footprint. So it could be centrally administered, or it could be pushed out to managers who are feeling a bit of pain utilizing a tool that's kind of been shoehorned into managing comp, versus looking for a solution or being able to leverage an HR technology solution that is specifically for comp. So again, that whole concept of satisfaction is actually bred by technology being leveraged to accomplish your goals and objectives, not trying to shoehorn your goals and objectives into how a technology solution is being rolled out or presented to you. So oftentimes we meet folks in the marketplace who are utilizing fantastic HCM or HRIS systems, and they're still operating outside of the system to manage any type of variable pay, really any level of complexity, namely because there are too many moving parts, so it doesn't really fit in that solution. So they're operating outside of a set solution, maybe in a spreadsheet, maybe via email, in a really insecure manner. So, again, what we're looking for from leveraging a technology is to mitigate risk, to create a streamlined approach, to ensure that your compensation practices are easily communicated to the folks that you are actually compensating, and that you're able then to report upstream or downstream where you are in relationship to internal equity or market equity. So when we look at that and you start peeling away what technology is really doing, again, it's kind of bread and butter work, but it's also really hard work. So when we're looking at technology that really addresses compensation, you're looking at, for instance, a solution like Compose that has a really huge workhorse engine to address the complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also looking for ease of use. But again, it's not super sexy. It's numbers, a lot of numbers and complex calculations.
So let me ask you this. I'm just thinking about this and comparing it to my world a little bit. Do you have some clients who approach you guys and they get it, they're excited, they're ready to, you know, tackle this project, and then versus the client who maybe contacting you because they got into a little bit of trouble and they need to do it, but they're really not into it. How do you handle the two sides of the coin from the person or the company that knows what this is about, excited about it, needs to get excited, you know, ready to get going, versus the one that's like, yeah, well, we got to do this now because we got an audit or something. How do you approach those?
You know, it's funny. I personally liken this to running up the steps or pulling your suitcase up an escalator. you know, we've all been there. So here's the thing. Again, I'll go back to advocacy, which this is huge in our organization. Also, a big word you'll hear a lot is adaptability. So when we as a team approach a client on either side of that fence, we do approach it a bit differently. The client that is exuberant, they have a funded project with resources aligned. Very critically, they understand their data. They know where that data is. They know how to get it out of source systems. They know what they want to accomplish. That is absolute nirvana. However, how we approach that client, again, is advocacy in a way that we want to look at ways to better the process. How can we implement our best practices from our other clients? How can we help them move quickly? How can we shore them up and relieve them of as much of the strain of administering comp as possible? Now, our folks that are being dragged into this kind of this arena and being told to fix something, or and it happens, you know, something has gone wrong, and they're looking for a solution. Again, it's advocacy and adaptability, but really, this is coming in, and we pride ourselves on becoming a part of each company's team. This is a way for us to really come in, guide an organization to a best practice that, again, is going to free up time, mitigate risk, but also create a solution that is as seamless as possible. Again, so the guys who are really fighting it begin to see immediate benefit in freed up FTE, again, freed up risk, better communication. So we kind of like to say that as a vendor partner, our composed team, we come in with a cape no matter what, and we're not wearing it. We want the clients are wearing it. We want to make sure that the folks who put themselves on the line to select our technology, that we help them shine, regardless of the position they started from. At the end, they are the advocate. They are the one that's shouting from the rooftop. So again, it's a bit different approach, but the outcome is the same. Our job is to ensure success. Our job is to make each of our practitioners the hero. Our job is to ensure that things are simplified, that stress is relieved.
So for those of us who don't know, tell us about the best time to get started. What part of the year is the best time to get started with something like this? Or is there a better part over another part of the year?
You know, it's kind of interesting. So as I mentioned, when we started out, a lot of our clients, in fact, I would say the greater part of 80% of our clients have a fiscal year start of January 1. So oftentimes, as you can well imagine, the compensation cycle for an annual cycle will really kick off in kind of the October timeframe, which means that we as an organization are often working with our clients as early as July, August to start planning that. Now, that being said, there's kind of a natural progression in the evaluation process. So our folks who are kind of mired in the year-end process will often, payouts happen in January, reconciliation in February, and then oftentimes by March, they're taking a breath, at least a little breath. There's very little downtime in comp these days. But at that point, we often see practitioners starting to look around, see what's out there, trying to determine how they will spend the limited dollars that are really available to HR. Although we've seen, of course, and it's been well published in the last 18 months, those dollars have increased, but they still come at a premium. So if you look at it, oftentimes evaluations are starting March, April, and they usually, you know, we usually want a live cycle by December. Interestingly enough, right now is a really busy evaluating time for folks who have an April start. So a lot of folks are out taking a look, trying to understand what's in the marketplace. And again, I'm a huge advocate, Chris, of starting those relationships early before mm-hmm. you even have a funded project. Take advantage of all the stuff we do as vendors and practitioners, you know, our trade events, local associations, socially connecting, heck, going out on a limb and practitioners feeling that they can go ahead and return an email or phone call from an organization, knowing they're not going to be sold to, but that they can look at us as an information source, you know, as a knowledge source in the process.
I was going to ask you about that, about trade associations and conferences and things like that. I know you think that, I know that they are, and I was going to say you think, but I know that you believe that they're great, and I do too. But the tech conference especially, talk about how a practitioner can use that as their advantage to help them at their everyday duties.
It's kind of overwhelming, you know, and I know you and I have spent some time talking about validity, you know, what makes a conference a good conference for a practitioner. Obviously, the ability to connect with their peers, the ability to obtain continuing education. But I think the really core thing is, again, from a relationship perspective, don't be afraid to stop by and shake a hand. You know, we as vendor partners and Compose or the DecuSoft team by and large takes quite a bit of time and consideration in reaching out to folks, letting them know what's going on, not only with us but in the industry. That face time is at a premium. So being able just to stop by, shake a hand, connect with people, ask about their solution, be clear. And Steve, you know, Steve mentioned this in his article as well. Be clear about timeline. If you mm-hmm. have a project on deck, but you really just want information to understand what is it that you do and how do you benefit organizations like mine, ask the question and be clear. We love, you know, all vendors, myself personally and all vendors that know, we love to talk about ourselves. We'll tell you all day long what we do. But also, it's a two-way street, as I mentioned, and being able for us to open up a dialogue, create a relationship where a vendor such as myself can reach out and have a conversation about, you know, what the top struggles are in the coming comp season, you know, how performance-based pay is really changing, gaining great information from our practitioners and the practitioners not feeling the threat of being sold to, if you will, but really leveraging that knowledge. There are tons of tools too, Chris, you know, at a show or at a local event or even socially reaching out to your vendors. Ask the question, what tools do you have available? We all have them. DecuSoft specifically, on the Compose section of our website, we have this really cool assessment tool. It is just about every question you could think of to ask a stakeholder in the compensation process. It's not vendor specific. It's a great tool. I can tell you that every other vendor partner that we know that we're partnered with or we encounter mm-hmm. also has fantastic tools. When you're at a show or at an event, ask the question, what tools do you have available to me to help me educate myself on this space? What tools do you have to help me build a business case?
It's so interesting that you talk about the ability to, you know, relate and be social and talk and communicate and ask questions, because I just think that in business and in work right now, people want to know you. They want to know a little bit more about you, who you are. They want to have those interactions. And so I think it's important, and I'm seeing now talking to you, it's filtering into not just, you know, the boss coworker relationship, but it's also filtering into the vendor company relationship. Just in every aspect of business in our lives, you know, we have to be able to communicate and talk and understand. And one thing I tell, you know, people when they ask me, when somebody asks me my advice or about a system or something, a practitioner, I said, don't be afraid to ask questions, and then don't be afraid to walk away from the deal if you don't think it's a good deal. Don't get locked into anything. You know, William did a great session on crappy vendor contracts, and the big takeaway was, you know, don't get locked into a 3-4-5 year deal if you don't have to, if it's not, like you said earlier, adaptable or customizable and things like that. So I think practitioners need to not be afraid to have these conversations and to come out to the conferences, engage and ask those questions and be a true, like you said, partner and customer with each other.
Your point is so well taken. It's no big secret to yourself or to the HR tech community that DecuSoft is a big company, specialized, and we have thrived looking at fit. And by that I mean during the evaluation process, our clients are evaluating us. But to your point, we also are evaluating what is a good fit for DecuSoft. What's a good fit for Compose? And we look at a good fit from a technology perspective. We look at it from a corporate culture perspective, a people perspective. And we have to, again, it kind of goes back to you have to be able to stand up and say, this might not be right for us, but we know it's right for someone else in the playing field. So let's have a conversation with them and make sure there's a clean handoff so that our practitioners are taken care of. We have such a strong community, and you're certainly part of it, Chris. We have a really socially connected community in HR technology, amazing visionaries, and the combined knowledge base is outstanding. And it just seems to me to continuing to leverage that as a vendor partner and not being afraid of that creates, again, I know it's a little Pollyanna, but it creates such a better environment for all of us, vendors and practitioners, you know.
We only got a couple minutes left, but to that point specifically, it's a great community, and it's a small world. I get a lot of insight from a lot of the practitioners who I know who talk to me about some of the systems that we see out there and the things that they've tried. And I'm lucky to write for a few companies and then ask, you know, people, what do you think about this company? Is it as good as they say it is? And get that honest feedback. So if you ever have a problem, you can rely on your network and say, hey, I got a demo here. I'm thinking about going with this. What do you think? Have you used it? And somebody in our network has probably used it. But like I said, we got a couple minutes.
You better bet.
So,
good, bad, or indifferent. Someone's accounted.
So, you know, I want you to quickly, if you can, tell us about your holiday feelings. I love the holidays. My favorite time of year. I'm so happy to be doing this, you know, just to do anything. But I'm happy doing this, and I love the holidays. How do you feel about the holidays, and are you ready for Christmas?
You know, the funny thing, Chris, is I love the holidays. It tends to be the busiest time of year for us as a team. So we strive very diligently to ensure that each one of us gets a little bit of stress relief as we move forward. But I do love the holidays. I like it all. I you know, this we've talked before, I love to cook. So the baking has commenced. I love the family aspect. I am not nearly ready. Again, it's the busiest time of year, so I'm hoping that my online shopping will commence in the next, you know, few days so that everyone has a gift under the tree. So now all of my friends and family that have decided to join us know that I have not yet shopped for them. But no, it's I love this time of year. I also like the new year. I tend to try very hard to always kind of look at, hey, what is the next goal? What is the thing that will make, you know, kind of the next year special? So the new year is such a nice time to, not that I'm a big resolution maker, so to speak, but I think it's a really nice time to kind of clean house, if you will, mentally, and to kind of set yourself up for a fresh start. You know, are there things we need to let go of? Are there things we need to celebrate? And really dive into the new year with fresh eyes and perspective.
Well, that's awesome, and we're out of time. It's been great. I appreciate you doing this with me being the guest host. We've learned a lot today, and thanks for coming on.
Chris, thank you. It's always a pleasure to catch up. And, again, I have to say that we should probably get an award from William and Nisha for the two of us not having crazy shenanigans during this. So I appreciate it so much. Looking forward to talking to you again soon, my friend.
Thanks. Have a good day, Dan. Goodbye,
everybody. Bye-bye.